John chapter 17, and I want to just read three verses for the sake of time, first three verses, and preach just a little out of this. Verse 1, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power, that is authority, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. 1 John 5:19 goes right along with this, and we'll look at that, and we'll come back to this text here and preach, Lord willing, or being my helper. And if he don't help me, I'm in trouble. But you notice in the 19th verse, 1 John 5, and we know. Boy, I like that. We know. We know what? We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, and we are in him, that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, what I want to dwell on for a while, you notice that here, John writing under the inspiration of the Spirit, he said, excuse me, I tell you, my nose is about to run away. I don't know if you got that problem this time of the year or not. I'm back in the Ohio Valley, and I know it. I'm going to slip this off, or it'll get worse. But notice what he said. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee. Eternal life is knowing God. May God bless this message to our hearts this morning and the reading of his word. You know, it's not so much about God knowing us. The Bible tells us that he knew us before the foundation of the world. God knows everything. And so, for there was ever anything, according to Ephesians 1:4, you hath he chosen in him before the foundation of the earth. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He wanted a race of people just like his Son. And the Bible said we're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, if we're not becoming more Christ-like, we ought to be checking up and finding out what the problem is. I mean, not only in our testimony, in our words, but I'm talking about in our life, in our actions, how we treat others. The Lord has dealt with me through the years, and he's never let me get by with doing wrong. I mean, he'll come along pretty soon and take you to the woodshed and deal with you like a father will deal with his children. And that's a blessing. But notice here, the Bible said, here talking about him knowing us, in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, the Word of God speaks to us and about this. And now these are verses, it's in the Scriptures, folks. He said in verse 13 of chapter 2, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say to you, it's not an issue of what does God know you, but the issue is, do you know God? See, that's where the old saying goes, the rubber meets the road. For instance, in Jeremiah 1:5, I'll not turn there for the sake of time, but God said to Jeremiah, I knew you when you was in your mother's womb. And not only did I know you, but I sanctified you. And I commissioned you to be a prophet to the nations. That's before Jeremiah was even born. What I'm saying to you, the issue is not so much of God knowing us, but it's whether you know him experimentally and personally. Now, eternal life is when we come to know him, the true God, and His Son, Jesus Christ. You say, how did we come to know Him? Well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, I want you to notice this verse. Matthew chapter 11, we could also go along, there's a comparable passage in Luke. But know what it said in verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. If you ever know God, he'll have to be revealed to you. It's one thing to pray a prayer, but it's another thing for the Spirit of God to introduce you to the living God. That's the Holy Ghost work. I was thinking about this message and studying many times, but I'll never forget the day when God sealed that thing to my soul. December the 4th, 1964, Paducah, Kentucky, sitting in a sales meeting. I was a member of the church, I was as active, and I was doing everything that a person could do, and the more I did, the more miserable I got. Why? I didn't know God. Now, I knew about God. I even went on visitation. I could tell people about God, but I didn't know Him. There's a difference in that. Now, I'm afraid sometimes people get mixed up on that. To know God is to know Him experimentally. And I remember I went to that sales meeting with the church. Was in a revival meeting. I was a member of it, and I was doing everything I could do to look like a Christian, act like one. I mean, I didn't smoke or chew or do nothing because I was trying to get myself cleaned up enough that God would take me. And I went that day, and I was so miserable. Oh, I mean, hell loomed over me. And that morning, sitting there, I'll never forget, I turned the best I knew how my heart to God and rested my never-dying soul on Him. And God regenerated my soul that day, made me alive. I was dead in sins and trespasses, and all of a sudden I came alive. What a difference. I knew about God, but I didn't know God. But I'd truck along with everybody else, you know, and we'd go out and visit and do this, that, and the other, you know, because I was a church member and I was supposed to do that. But after the Holy Spirit revealed God to me, I come to know Him. And not only that, as Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. He wasn't talking about getting acquainted with Him initially. But Paul wanted to know more and more and more about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. And you know, since that day, I was telling you in that sales meeting, I went forward that night and told the church that I was saved that day. And I became a candidate for baptism, taken into the church in the right way, and was baptized. But I'll tell you, there has been a growing desire in my heart since that day. I want to know Him. I could tell you a lot of things before that happened that I had learned as a child in Sunday school and grew up in a Christian home and in a Christian community. But I didn't know Him. He knew me. But I didn't know Him. But when the Holy Spirit made that revelation to my soul, what a difference. Oh, this morning, have you had a real experience with God? I'm not talking about just an emotional thing to happen. It's a growing thing. How sweet it is to know that. So here the text said today in John 17, eternal life is to know God. In verse number 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Jesus said, no man can know the Father except I reveal it to him. Again, the Holy Ghost does that work. See, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you can't separate the Trinity. It's one essence. Whichever how it's done, it's still the one God doing it. There never is such a thing as a part of God. Our God is, I think it's in Deuteronomy, said our God is one Lord. One essence, one deity, three divine persons. And those persons are joined together in absolute harmony, doing the work of the one true God, that we might know Him. So the way we come to know Him is He's revealed to us, and He's revealed to us in regeneration. You say, what is regeneration? It's simply the giving of life. It's the same term as being born again. It's the same term, several different things, quickening. In the book of Ephesians, it said, you hath He quickened who were dead. See, that's why you can't know anything about God until you've been quickened. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, it says that the things of God they're hid. Let me turn there. I'll tell you one thing. I'm trying to learn how to preach a new way. I didn't used to need notes much, but if they keep putting me under medicine, I don't think I'll remember my address, much less the Scriptures. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and I'm over there in 2 Corinthians. But this is some important verses. It says here in chapter 2, and I was trying to figure here, I want to start about, verse 7. And we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan defeated himself. See, a lot of times people look at that and they say, boy, poor thing. No, Jesus gave His life. They didn't take it. He laid it down a ransom. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. And so the devil thought he'd won a great victory when he got those people excited and they called for his crucifixion and hung him on that old rugged cross. But he was sealing his own doom. The princes or the rulers of the world, that's the way they are now. If they had any sense, they wouldn't say some things they're saying. One day they're going to meet God in all of His power. Oh, they can brag now, but I'll tell you what. One of these days, there won't be no Democrats or Republicans, liberals or anything else. It'll be God. God you'll have to face. But now notice verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. See, this is not something that you can know by man's wisdom. I'm getting too close to something. It's jumping back at me. So whoever's running after you can adjust that a little. It may help everybody. But anyway, you notice here, it says it's eye hath not seen. That is natural eye. And it says here, neither have entered into the heart of man. Natural man, fallen man, don't know anything at all about what God has prepared for them that love Him. But notice verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, until you're regenerated, made alive, that goes for all of us, this book don't make any spiritual sense to you. It can't. But when the Holy Spirit comes and regenerates your soul, comes and takes up His abode in you, then He's there as a teacher and you're alive. And he teaches you through your regenerate spirit. And you can come together and learn things. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, say the spirit of man, which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said nobody can know God unless it's revealed to him. So this is telling you how it's revealed and what happens when it did. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What a wonderful thing to be alive spiritually and have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, teaching you, keeping you, sealing you. He's God's seal to us. When God regenerates you, he sets a seal on you, and that seal is the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 13 said, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How can you know spiritual things when you're dead in sins and trespasses? You can't. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. I don't see much religious television, in fact, just about any kind, but I'm not going to get on that so some of you don't get nervous. That's a subject for another day sometime. But I'll tell you, all that foolishness that's going on TV, and I'll tell you what it is, it's nothing but a money-making thing. And to help their pride along. But you can tell by some of the things they say, they don't know a thing about God. They don't know Him. They wouldn't make a lot of those foolish statements they make if they knew Him. You know what's wrong with them? They're natural men. Destitute of the Spirit. Oh, yeah, they talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, but the problem is they don't know Him. I'm not trying to be judgmental. You know that. If you got as much spirituality as Fido and the First Reader, you know I'm telling you the truth. Some of the wildest claims I ever heard of. Sometime I just sitting down over at Barry's a little bit, and he maybe goes across. That's some of the wildest claims I ever heard. I mean, they can just about do anything. I mean, they can make you grow another leg. And you know, evidently a lot of people believe that. They have a house full, every one of them do. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with them, because the natural man does not understand spiritual things. Back to John 17. I'll finish up here. It's almost 12. But now, you notice, I've already pretty well covered the next point. But how do we come to know Him? We come to know Him through revelation. He's revealed to us. In fact, if you look that word up, you'll find it's the same word you got in the book of the Revelation. Apocalypte. Uncovers. See, your heart is black and dark. And God removes all that and light comes in. And all of a sudden you see things you never saw before. There's things in this book you're missing because you don't want to put in the time to study. You don't want to separate yourself from what you're doing long enough to get alone with God. God's got some things to tell you if you belong to Him. But you'll have to put in the time. That's just like a field out here. You could sow that field. But it's not going to grow anything if you don't take care of it. So here, I was thinking about that. People pick up, and Baptists are as bad about this as anyone, somebody's got quite a bit of personality and whatnot. They'll start teaching something, and next thing you know, there'll be all kind of people grab onto it without ever checking it out. We were in Texas in a meeting, Barry and I was, a few years ago, and there was a young fellow. He's a good friend of mine now. But he'd been taught some things all of his life. It was nothing in the world but just tradition. And he kept talking, and I knew what he was getting at. He's trying to find out where I stood on that. So I thought I'll help him out a little bit. No use letting him wander around here, there, and yonder without knowing. And I told him, I said, "You're a young man." And I said, "I'm getting old." I said, "Could I just speak a word to you, a word of wisdom?" Oh, he said, "Sure." I said, "If you had to prove that proposition, where would you go in your Bible to start?" He reminded me of a boxer in a boxing match that just got caught by a left hook right on the chin. He just set him back. And I told him, I said, "I'm serious with you." I said, "Why don't you study that out? Study it out for yourself." And I said, "From now on, anything somebody tells you, ask them for proof. If it's doctrine, it's in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, then it don't need to be taught." There's a church that I've, the sportsmen, they've continued. I'm a little surprised because they're real strong on this way you constitute churches. And the pastor came up and sat down beside of me in a fellowship meeting. Well, he started kind of probing around. I knew where he was going. And he asked me about a particular missionary. And I said, "Yeah, I know him, but I don't work with him. We're in the same city in Thailand, but we don't work together." He said, "You know," said, "he doesn't believe that you got to have a mother church to start one." I said, "I don't either." Ooh. And I told him, I said, "Now, I'm not trying to pick an argument, but I knew where he was going." And I said, "I'd love to sit down and just discuss this just one-on-one with me and you sometime, not in anger. I want to get mad now and start in, you know, calling people names and things like that. We're brothers." We talked a while, and I gave him a few scriptures and some on history. And the meeting's getting ready to start, and he got up and he walked kind of around like that, and he looked at me. He said, "I can see you've been around the block a time or two." I said, "Well, I've been around a while." And I told him, I said, "Why don't you go study that? See if you can prove it with the Bible. If you do, let me know." I still ain't heard nothing. It's not in the Bible. Did you know, other than when Jesus organized the first church, there's not one word that I can find in Scripture telling you how to organize a church. It tells you what you have to have. You have to have saved, scripturally baptized believers that's willing to come together in covenant relationship with each other and serve the Lord. But it don't tell you how you bring them together. Some of y'all looking funny at me. I'm just telling you the truth. You search the Scriptures, you won't find it. I asked a fellow real strong, we was in a fellowship, maybe we was eating, really. And I asked him, I said, "Can you tell me when the Church of Corinth was organized?" I said, "Was it organized after the first baptisms, or was it organized after 6 months, or was it organized when Paul was leaving town?" See, it don't tell you. Now, we know how the material was prepared. Paul went down there and preached him and some of his word, and people were saved, and he baptized them. But what day they constituted, personally, I think a church is a church when they come together. In other words, just like this church did 40 years ago. We were saved people. We were baptized. We had 6 or 7 that we baptized before we got into that. But what we did, we started meeting together as a baptized church. If that's not a church, then I don't know what one is. Now, I know we called it a mission and everything for a while, but this church, as far as I'm concerned, was founded and constituted when we agreed to start meeting together as a baptized group of people. I believe that. From day one. I don't know how I got off on that. Let me finish up. How does he reveal himself to us? Well, I've pretty well covered that. Through regeneration and the Word of God. Titus said, not by washing not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5. 1 Peter 1:22 said, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. This book is the seed that God sows in the hearts of sinners. And then the Holy Spirit quickens it, and it comes alive. Has that ever happened to you? See, only you can answer that. Husband can't answer for a wife, and a wife can't answer for a husband. It's personal. I can look back now to December the 4th, 1964. There was 30 other men in that sales meeting. But God was dealing with me alone. Other people was trying to figure out how much whole life cost. But I was studying about life, eternal. Oh, today, can you mark a place in your life, your time, when God dealt with you and saved you? I know you don't hear much about it this day and time, but folks, there is a hell. If you die in your sin, you're going there. And the only way you'll ever get rid of your sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way but by the shedding of His precious blood. And I tell you today, if you don't have that settled, if I was you, I'd start to get it settled. In fact, I wouldn't rest till I got it settled. Somebody said, how can I do that? Throw yourself on the mercy of God. Get rid of your pride. That was one of my big things, was pride. Get rid of it. Throw yourself on the mercy of God as a poor sinner. Trust in Jesus Christ alone to take your sin away. He'll do it. Somebody said, how can I be sure He'll save you? Because He said He would. He said He would. There's none ever come to Jesus as a humble, penitent sinner that didn't leave with what he come for. See, the Bible says that judgment is that strange work of God. But it says that mercy, He delights in mercy. Oh, today, have you ever been... I was talking to someone pretty close to me and my family. In fact, Vince, it was a brother. And he has no peace at all, but he don't want to admit what his need is. Throw all that junk out and go to Jesus as a humble, penitent sinner. Trusting Him alone to save you. And you know what will happen? He'll save you. Just stand together for prayer, Brother Richardson coming.